What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Northview Church Podcast. We're so glad that you're taking time to listen to today's message. Northview is a place for you to grow closer to others and to grow closer to God. We would love to meet you in person and have you visit us at any one of our campuses. You can find a campus near you or get more information about Northview by visiting us online at northviewchurch.us. Now, let's join our senior pastor, Steve Poe, for this week's message.
So thinking about baptism, I thought about the little church, that country church that had a pond out back, and they would do their baptisms out back in the pond. And one Sunday afternoon, they were baptizing, and a drunk made his way into the church grounds and into the water. And as he came up to the pastor said, "So, you ready to find Jesus?" And the drunk said, "Yes, Pastor, I am." And so he takes him down, he brings him back up, and he says, "Did you find Jesus?" And he said, "No, Pastor, I didn't." So he takes him down again. He brings him back up, and he's kind of choking. He said, "Did you find Jesus?" "No, I didn't find Jesus." So he takes him down. This time, he holds him down for a really long time, much like we do here at Northview, but he holds him down for a really, really long time until his hands start waving. And so he pulls him up, and he's choking and spitting, and he said, "Did you find Jesus?" And he said, "No, Pastor, I didn't. Are you sure this is where he fell in?" Now, for those of you that are our guests today, I hope the talk will be much better than the jokes, and so don't give up on us too soon. So this is the final week in our series, I Love My Church, and the first week, if you were here, I started by sharing the vision of Northview Church, and if you weren't here, can I just encourage you to go online and listen to that message, because that's what Northview's all about. It's what we believe that God's called us to. I love it that I get to be a part of it. I look forward to getting out of bed every morning, and I love it that I get to partner with you guys and that we can work together to accomplish what God's calling us to accomplish in the community and around the world. And so I want you to hear that vision if you haven't already. And then the next week, Derek Irvin shared about groups, and Derek is kind of our department head over groups. And then the next weekend, Kurt shared about the family game plan, and primarily he talked about teens or teenagers that week. And by the way, I just thought those two guys rocked it. I just thought they did an excellent job. Yeah. And so today I want to talk about baptism and what it really means to be baptized and why it's important for a believer to be baptized. Now, guys, I know that some of you have been on a spiritual journey for quite a while now, and you've been looking into the claims of Christ. You've been listening to what we've taught and what we've had to say, and maybe you've said, well, that's fine. That's good. I think I agree. I think I believe. But you really don't know the steps you need to take for salvation, and maybe there's others of you that didn't even know there were steps that you needed to take for salvation. I mean, you've been coming, you've liked what you've heard, but you didn't know there was anything you needed to do. So before I get into my talk on baptism today, I really wanted to just simply explain salvation. Because salvation was never intended to be complicated. It was never intended to be a mystery. It was never intended to be difficult. It was intended to be something very easy to understand and simple so that all of us would want that in our lives. Salvation is all about relationship. In fact, the Bible, the Word of God, is all about relationships. All the way from Genesis in the beginning to Revelation in the end, it's all about relationships. That's what the Bible is about. If you've ever wondered what it's about, that's it. It's about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. God loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. And so that's what we see happening throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, God trying to restore that relationship with us. In fact, in the very beginning, when God created man, he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he said, "There will be in perfect fellowship together with one another. This is all yours. Everything you could ever want is right here." He said, "Except I don't want you to eat of this one tree. There's just one tree over here I don't want you to eat of." What was that about? It was about the fact that God didn't want us to be a puppet on a string. God wanted to give mankind free will, the freedom to choose. He didn't want to force you to love him or to force you to follow him. He wanted you to do so because you wanted to. And so, of course, we get to Genesis chapter 3 right out of the gate, and Adam and Eve, what do? They eat of the tree. They sin against God, and so sin enters our world. So here you have this wonderful relationship with God, the fellowship he intended for us to have, and now because of mankind's sin, the depravity of man, we have this chasm. The fellowship was broken, and so now there's this chasm, this gulf that separates us and God. And so now you go all throughout history for centuries, and mankind has been trying to find their own way back to God. And they thought, well, you know, I can build, if I come to church, that'll build a bridge back to God, but it didn't work. Well, if I give enough money, that'll build a bridge back to God, but that didn't work. Well, if I'm a good person, that'll build a bridge back to God, but that didn't work. There is no way for us to build a bridge back to God. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. In other words, he's making it very clear the only way for us to get to God is through Jesus. Scripture says in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this room have sinned. We've all messed up. And it says in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death, that you and I, we deserve to die. We deserve the death penalty because of the sin in our life. So what happens? So Jesus gets up from his seat in heaven. In Philippians, it tells us that he sets aside his deity and he takes on flesh. And he comes to this earth as that baby in a manger. Guys, that's the Christmas story. He comes as a baby in a manger. Then he lives his life into an adult life. The Bible says he was tempted in all the same ways that you and I are tempted, but he never sins. He never sins. And so he willingly goes to the cross, not for his sins, he never sinned. He willingly goes to the cross to pay for your sins and to pay for my sins. Because remember, the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die. Somebody had to pay the price. Jesus died in our place. 3 days later, after he dies, he rises from the grave in the resurrection to conquer death. That's Easter. So when we talk about Christmas is his birth, the resurrection we talk about at Easter. And so he then paid the price so that we could be forgiven and declared not guilty. So it's a free gift of salvation. There's nothing that we can do to earn it, and we certainly don't deserve it, but it's a gift from God. It's like, guys, if I decided I wanted to give every one of you a gift, and I went out and I worked overtime, and I saved up my money, and I had this gift, and I put a pretty red bow on it, and I said, here, this is for you. You say, well, what did I do? Nothing. I just want to give you this. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It's just a gift from me to you. What do you have to do to have this gift? You have to either receive it or accept it. You have to either receive it from me or accept it, because until you do, it doesn't become yours. I'm just sitting here holding this gift, telling you it's yours, but you have to receive. The same thing is true with salvation. Jesus has said, I'm giving you this gift of salvation. It's yours. I already paid for it. You didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it, but it's yours. What do you have to do? You have to accept it or receive it. And when you do this, when you accept this free gift, it builds a bridge, because Jesus steps in the chasm. He steps in the gulf. He takes the hand of God and your hand and my hand, and he brings us back together again. That, my friends, is salvation. And if you've never done that, you can do that right now. You can do that today. So I'm going to ask you all, if you would just bear with me, if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes here for just a moment. And if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I want to pray for you today. I want to give you an opportunity to invite Christ into your life to receive that free gift of salvation. So if you say, if you are not certain of your salvation, some of you would push back and say, Steve, can anybody really be sure? Absolutely. The Bible tells us that these things have been written so that you may know you have eternal life. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to hope. You can know with certainty. So if you're here and you're not sure, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. This is just between you, me, and God. But what I want you to do is I just want you to raise your hand and say, Steve, pray for me today. I'm not sure, and I want to be sure today, and I want to pray for you. Yes. Once I see you, you can put your hand down. Yes, yes, yes. Who else? You're not sure, but you want to be sure today. Yes, yes. In the back, yes. How about up in the balcony? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. How about in the top balcony? Yes. Anyone else up there? Am I missing you? Wave at me. It's a little dark. Yes. Yeah, I see you too right there. Yep. You know, the Bible says that today's the day of salvation, not next week, not next month, today. What does that mean? That means that you have to decide. You can either accept or reject, but you have to decide. What are you going to do? Is there anyone else? You're not sure, but you want to be sure today. Anyone else? Yes, in the very back. Yes, ma'am. The balcony. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? You sure? Yes, sir. Yes, right here. Anyone else? Last call. Then with every head bowed and every eye closed, there was about 20 or 24 of you, I'm not sure quite. Those that raised your hand, would you look at me? Just those of you that raised your hand, I don't want to do anything to embarrass you, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. And if you meant business with God, then what I'm going to ask you to do is just to repeat that prayer to yourself silently. And as you do, I promise you that not only will he forgive you, but he'll come into your life as your Savior and as your Lord. So as I pray out loud, just repeat it to yourself silently. Dear Jesus, I know I failed you. I know I've sinned against you. But I ask you, God, to forgive me of all of my sins, to come into my life as my Savior and as my Lord. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. And now, Lord, I commit the rest of my life to loving you and serving you. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and I praise you for those that prayed that prayer. And I ask, God, that you'd make yourself real to them like never before. Help them to know that their sins have been forgiven past, present, and even into the future because you died once for all mankind's sins. And God, if there were those that just weren't quite ready, I pray, dear God, that you would just continue to gently knock on the door of their heart and help them to know that they matter to you. Help them to know that you love them and have a purpose and a plan for their life. Thanks, God. We just love you and praise you, and we just ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Amen. For those of you that prayed with me, it's the most important. I'm proud of you. Guys, once you've invited Jesus Christ into your life, the next step is baptism. Now, what does that mean? That means that oftentimes people think, well, when I accept Christ, I'm done. I've done it. Now I'm done. No, it's the beginning of your journey, not the end. When you invite Jesus Christ into your life, it's like you've opened the door of your heart. It's like it's the very start. Now your spiritual life is a journey. And so you need to start walking in that spiritual journey. And the first step is baptism. And so that's what I want us to talk about for a few minutes. In Acts chapter 8, we see Philip was running alongside a chariot that was carrying a man of great authority. And this guy was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And so Philip, he's kind of running alongside of him. He's like, do you understand what you're reading? And this guy's like, no, I really don't. And so he invites Philip into his chariot. He said, could you come up here and explain it? And so Philip jumps in and he begins to explain to him. And we see that in Acts. He says, so beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Guys, that's what we just talked about, the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him there. Listen, baptism is an important first step in the Christian life. And yet, I got to tell you, in our modernized Christianity, we tend to take God's commandments far too lightly. Chuck Colson, in one of his books, points it out. He says, you know, most Westerners take baptism for granted. But for many in the world, the act requires immense courage. In countries like Nepal, it once meant imprisonment. For Soviet or Chinese or Eastern Bloc believers, it was like signing their own death warrant. You know, guys, there might be some churches that are overemphasizing the importance of baptism, but I think the bigger problem that we're seeing today is most Christians don't take it seriously enough. So today I want to talk about why it's important for all of us to be baptized, or why it's important for all believers to be baptized. Of course, the obvious reason is that Jesus modeled it for us so that we could see that it is a big deal, and that it was Jesus who established baptism as an ordinance for his church, calling every believer to follow in his footsteps. In Matthew, we have what we call, Matthew 28:19, we have what we call the Great Commission or the Great Commandment. It's not the Great Suggestion, it's the Great Commandment. Meaning what? Meaning we have a responsibility. If you're a believer or a follower of Christ, we have a responsibility, we have an obligation to be obedient. It says, therefore, do what? Go and make disciples. What does that mean, to make a disciple? A disciple is that person that's just stepped into salvation. Now you're a believer, you're a disciple in Christ, you're on a spiritual journey. We have a responsibility to make disciples of all nations, and then what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying after somebody prays to receive Christ, they should then be baptized. Now, that's where most churches would agree. Most churches would agree up to this point. But then from there, it can go in a lot of different directions, which is why the subject of baptism can be such an emotional topic for so many people. If you were raised, for instance, if you were raised in the church, then your belief on baptism probably has to do with the way you were raised. We often believe the way we were taught growing up, and we think that's just the way it is. So when we hear someone teach it differently, we can get a bit defensive. For instance, guys, I grew up Baptist, so I assumed that we had a better understanding about baptism than everybody else should, right? I mean, come on, who baptized Jesus? It wasn't John the Methodist. And it wasn't John the Presbyterian. It wasn't the non-denominational John. It was John the Baptist, right? Of course, I'm kidding. But if you were raised Catholic, then you were taught baptism was necessary for salvation. And it's why many parents who were raised Catholic want to immediately get their new baby baptized, because they're afraid if they don't and something happens to our child, then our child will miss heaven. Guys, nothing could be further from the truth. Because until a child comes into the age of accountability, and the age of accountability is where they know the difference between right or wrong, until a child comes into the age of accountability, if something happens to that child, they are immediately in the presence of God. So as a parent, you don't need to worry about anything like that. Parents, listen. It's only once you know that your child has invited Christ into their life that you should encourage them to be baptized. So in other words, let's say your fourth grader or whatever comes home from church and they say, I accepted Jesus today in my life. The first thing I would recommend that you do is sit down and say, tell me about it. Tell me exactly what you did so that you're sure they understand salvation. And then once you think they understand salvation, then you could say, you know, your next step is baptism, and encourage them to be baptized. If they don't understand salvation, then surely spend some time with them to help them understand salvation, and then talk to them about baptism. But don't push them before they're ready and rob them of an important spiritual marker in their life. Wait till they've invited Christ into their life. You know, for me, I think I was 9 years old when I was baptized. And I did it because all the other kids were doing it, so it was not a spiritual marker for me. And if you say, well, Steve, what do you remember about your baptism? I would tell you that the night we got baptized, they took us into the pastor's office, and this is what I remember. We went into the pastor's office, and he had a mannequin's head sitting on his desk with his wig on top of it. I had no idea my pastor was bald, and so he comes in the other door without his wig on, and he's talking to us, but all I remember to this day is looking at a bald man and his wig sitting on the mannequin. And so, again, that's why all this is important, because, you know, your kids might discover their pastor is bald, you know. So, again, my point is that then later in high school, I accepted Christ, and I realized I needed to be baptized again, because the first didn't mean anything, and so I needed it to be important in my life. I also think it's important to mention that, I want to refer back to what I was talking about a minute ago. I think it's important to mention that there is not one reference to baptism of an infant in the entire New Testament, not one. And yet there are all kinds of references to baptism with adults, and they're almost always preceded by some command for belief. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that whenever it talks about baptism with an adult, it usually talks about first you need to believe, then you need to be baptized. For instance, Acts chapter 2, it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Now, repent, that doesn't just mean I'm sorry. You know, some people have the idea that, you know, you got caught, so I'm sorry. But to repent means to change directions. To repent is like, I've been living for myself, I've been doing my own plan for my life, and I recognize it's been wrong, and so I stop, I repent, I change directions 180 degrees and go the other way. I'm gonna follow Christ now. That's what repentance means. So it says repent, accept Christ, in other words, in your life, and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, for those of you that were baptized as an infant, please hear me on this, because just please hear me on this. I'm certainly not trying to discredit the motivation of your parents. In fact, you should be grateful that you had parents that cared enough about you to make an effort to dedicate you to the Lord. In other words, what I'm saying, because that was their frame of reference, that's what they had been taught, so they thought that was the right thing to do spiritually for their child. So you should be grateful that you had parents that love you like that. I'm just trying to say that we don't believe baptism of an infant or a toddler constitutes biblical ordinance of baptism. Now, I want to talk about baptism today because I believe, listen, I believe there are scores of people even in this room right now who are Christians. There are many of you in this room. There's no question you're on your way to heaven. You've invited Christ into your life, but you've never followed the Lord in baptism. And if that's you, then my hope today is that I can convince you to obey Jesus' instructions and to be baptized. So let's look at how it all started in the New Testament church. It started out one day, this wild-haired guy who wore sandals, animal skins, and probably smelled a little bit. He showed up at the Jordan River, and he started preaching. And his message was simple, and it was consistent. And his message was, repent, 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 repent. His name was John, and John said that God is about to do something very unique in our midst. He's about to do something that he's never done before, and if you're not right with God, then you're gonna miss out. He said, I know that many of you are Jewish, but that's not good enough anymore. I know that many of you worship at the temple and make sacrifices, but that's not good enough anymore. You need to get your lives in line with the teachings of God. In other words, you need to stop sinning, and you need to surrender your life to God. Then John did the strangest thing. He got into the water, and he said, now, if you're ready to repent, I want you to come down in the water with me. And people were lining up for John to do his thing. Now, since none of us were there, we don't know exactly the method that John used, but we know it looked like some kind of a ceremonial washing. So when they were describing it to their friends, when they were telling their friends what they had experienced with John, they said, this man baptizo us. This man baptizo us. And the word baptism is baptizo in the original language, which means to dip, to submerge, to wash, to make clean. It means to immerse, to emerge. And yet John made it clear that he was not talking about washing the dirt off their body when he was talking about this. The message of repentance, he was talking about the washing away of their sins. Listen, guys, baptism is extremely symbolic. In Colossians chapter 2, he says, for you were buried with Christ. So in other words, when I invited Christ into my life, the old man died. Jesus said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has become. So when I accepted Christ, for those of you that just prayed with me, the old man is dead. The new man is now in Christ. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. So baptism is very symbolic. I died with Christ, therefore I'm buried with Christ, and then I'm raised to newness of life. So I died with Christ, I go under the water as significant or symbolic of being buried. Coming up out of the water is symbolic. I've been raised, resurrected with Christ. And the water is symbolic of the washing away of our sins. Well, as time went on, John picked up the nickname John the Baptist because he was literally going through this baptizing ceremony with everyone that would repent of their sins. And there was a lot of people identifying with John's message. But John said, it's not good enough, guys, to simply say you agree with what I'm saying. I want you to come into the water and I want you to make it public. Then one day, while preaching, so he's preaching, the crowds just kept gathering to hear John preach. They kept getting in the water for him to baptize him. And so one day he notices there's somebody up on the bank. And he keeps catching his eye, and he finally stops. And he gestures up to this man on the bank and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, the one that takes away the sin of the world." I'm sure he then turns to the crowd and says, "Friends, this is the guy I've been telling you about. This, my friends, is the Messiah. This is the one who can forgive your sins." Jesus then comes into the water. He comes into the river and says, "John, I want you to baptize me." John says, "You got to be kidding me. I'm not going to wash you. You should be washing me." He said, "If there is a sinner here, it's me. I'm not even worthy to lace up the sandals on your feet, much less baptize you." But Jesus tells John, listen, Jesus tells John, "This is necessary that you baptize me." Why? Jesus never sinned. The scripture is clear that Jesus never sinned. So why in the world did he need to be baptized? He needed to be baptized because he was affirming John's message. He was affirming John's message. John had been telling the crowds that this is what you need to do. You need to repent. You need to come in and be baptized. And so Jesus is saying, "Baptize me because I want to say to the people," listen to what he's saying. He's telling you truth. This is exactly what it is that you need to do. So we then move on, and Jesus, he goes 40 days, 40 nights into the wilderness. He's tempted there and then starts his earthly ministry. He picks out 12 disciples and he begins his earthly ministry. And so the disciples begin to baptize people. It's interesting to note Jesus never baptized anyone, but his disciples began to baptize. So the people would hear the message of Christ as the coming Messiah, and they'd want to follow him. They'd line up, and his disciples would baptize them. And that's how baptism, guys, began in the early church. John was the first baptizer. Then the disciples began to baptize. And when Jesus left this earth, listen, when Jesus left this earth, his last instructions to us were what? His last instructions to us were, "You need to go and tell everybody." Now, you know, when somebody's going to leave, if they're going to leave me and be gone for a while, I want to hear what their last instructions are. What is it you want me to do? Jesus said, "I'm going away for a while, but I will return." And so like, okay, so while you're gone, what am I supposed to be doing? So you want to hear their last instructions. And Jesus said, "You need to go and tell everybody everything I've taught you. And when they decide to believe and follow me, then I want you to baptize them." So let's sum this up. First of all, baptism is a public declaration of a new relationship. Baptism is a public declaration. This is important. Public declaration of a new relationship. That's what it is. And I want everyone to know it. I'm being baptized. And that's why I think it's so important that baptism is a public thing. Because we're wanting our peers, we're wanting our friends and our family to know that I believe Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus. So I want everyone to know that. And so I'm embracing his teachings. Next, I want you to see, baptism is not a condition of salvation. Baptism is not a requirement of salvation. Because I'm telling you that because I know there are those today that believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. That if you're not baptized, you're not a Christian. I just don't believe that's biblical. That's my belief. I don't believe that that's scriptural. And my example that I would use, of course, is the thief on the cross. And so here you have two thieves that are on the cross and they're making fun of Jesus, they're ridiculing Jesus, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the one thief has an aha moment. And he's like, "Oh my gosh, he really is the Messiah." It hits him, his eyes are open, and he says to Jesus, "You know, would you remember me this day when you're in your paradise?" And Jesus says, "Where I'm going, you're going. You don't need to worry, today you'll be with me in paradise." And yet he wasn't baptized. But that didn't bother Jesus. Why? Because baptism is not a condition or a requirement for salvation. And yet, if you've accepted Christ, then he wants us to go public so that our friends can see that we're Christians. One more thing that I want you to see, and that is baptism is an act of obedience. Baptism is an act of obedience. But still, I don't want to be baptized. I don't want to get up there in front of all those people. And you know, my makeup's going to run, and they're going to see this wet hair, and it's going to be humiliating. I don't want to do this. I just don't want to do that. Friends, please hear me. I don't know what your reason is for not being baptized, but I'm just telling you, the God who endured the beatings, the God who endured the cross and has given you the free gift of salvation has asked you to be baptized. So I honestly don't understand the resistance to obey him. And I'll be honest with you, it reveals a deeper problem going on with your heart. If the scripture is very clear that he wants you to be baptized and you refuse, it shows there's something deeper going on with your heart. In Luke chapter 6, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" I don't think I need to break that down. I think it's pretty clear. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Baptism is the initial test of a believing heart. If you won't even obey Christ in baptism, what will you do when he asks you to pray? What will you do when God asks you to serve? What will you do when God asks you to do evangelism? Our heart should always be to please our Heavenly Father. I mean, the heart of a Christian should be, you know, if God wants me to be baptized in a pile of leaves, I'll be baptized in a pile of leaves. I don't care. I just want to be obedient to my Lord. And then here's another area I think we struggle with. How you were baptized is not near as important as the timing. How you were baptized is not near as important as the timing. In other words, let me explain. If you grew up in a church and you prayed to receive Christ, and this church says, now you need to be baptized, and the way we baptize is we sprinkle. And you said, okay, because I've accepted Christ, now I want to be baptized. And so they sprinkle you. I'm just telling you, I don't think that's a problem. Now, I know I just made a bunch of people mad, but I don't think that's a problem. Because I think what God is always most interested in is our heart. I think when it comes right down to it, what God is most interested in is our heart. Not the method of baptism. At Northview, we immerse because that's what the word baptism means. It's immersion. So at Northview, we immerse or take you all the way under and hold you under a very long time, as I told you earlier. I'm just kidding. But again, friends, regardless whether you were sprinkled, doused, or dunked, that's okay as long as you first invited Christ into your life. Because guys, unless you put your faith in Christ first, then baptism's not going to do any more than get you wet. I'm telling you, when I was 9 years old and I went into the baptism tank after seeing that bald-headed pastor's wig, all it did was get me wet. Because I hadn't invited Christ into my life. I was just doing it because the other kids did it. So, I'm sure everybody was celebrating, oh, yay, Steve got baptized. But it meant nothing. Because I hadn't invited Christ into my life. Baptism will do no more than get you wet unless it's preceded by salvation. So again, I'm not near as concerned with how it's done as long as you get it done. Remember, baptism is the outward evidence of your decision to follow Christ. So if you were baptized after you accepted Christ, then I don't think you need to do it again. In other words, there have been people that I see, they'll come up to be baptized 2 or 3 times because maybe they sinned and they're like, oh, I better be baptized again. You don't need to do that. It's not necessary. Your sins are forgiven. You just need to repent of your sins. They're forgiven. You don't need to continue to be baptized. But if you were baptized when you were a baby, or if you were baptized before you invited Christ into your life like I was, then I do think you need to do it again. For instance, maybe you were baptized when you were a kid because your parents were kind of trying to push you into it. You know, it's time. You're old enough now. You need to be baptized. But you weren't a Christian yet. Maybe there was a group of teenagers or a group of kids that were all doing it, so you thought, well, I better do it too. That does not do anything for you. And so if that was the case, I would just encourage you to do it again. I would encourage you to be baptized again. Ultimately, it all goes back to Jesus' statement in John chapter 14 when he said, if you love me, keep my commands. That's really what I'm talking about today. If you love me, keep my commands. If you've invited Christ into your life and yet you've not been baptized, friends, what are you waiting for? We had a couple ladies last night that were older women and had been Christians. Listen, they had been Christians most all their life. And I was talking to them back there and they said, we've waited all of our life. And the one lady said, because I'm petrified of the water. I have a fear of water. But she said, I realize I've got to do this. And both of them had the same issue, and they both were baptized. So I don't know what your reason is. I don't know what you've come up with, but I'm just telling you, we just need to be obedient. If you've invited Christ in your life, you need to be obedient to the Lord and be baptized. I think this passage sums it all up. In Acts, it says, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Guys, today if you come, you said, Steve, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with it, but I didn't come prepared. I don't have any way, we did. We're prepared. We've got towels. We've got shorts for you to change into, tops for you to change. We've got everything you'll need to be baptized. So there were 20-some people that prayed with me today. And I would just tell you guys, today's your day. You need to be baptized. And somebody say, well, Steve, we just prayed today. There's no waiting period. It's like the door's open. You've accepted Christ. Let's begin your journey. And so today's your day. And so I would encourage all the 20-some of you that prayed with me today, you need to come. If there's those of you that you were baptized but you weren't a Christian, you need to come. You need to be baptized. I know I've got a lot in a room this size. I've got a lot of people that are Christians. You're believers. You're on your way to heaven. But for whatever reason, you've not been baptized. I'm telling you, today is your day. So if you're younger than 14, you need to bring a parent with you. If you're younger than sixth grade, we do have a class that we offer that would be helpful for you to go through before you're baptized so that we can help ensure that you know what you're doing. But parents, you're the final decision maker. So if you say, no, I don't want them to wait. They want to do this. I don't want them to wait for the class. We're going to do it. That's totally up to you. So again, guys, if you've not been baptized, what in the world are you waiting for? Let's just do this. So Andy's getting in the tank right now. If you want to be baptized, I'm going to invite you to get up and come over here. Who do I got? The lights are off. Mike. Mike's waiting for you over there. So just get up and come. What are we waiting for? In the balcony? Come on. If you prayed with me today, come on. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Come on. You prayed with me. You come on. Come on, guys. What are you waiting for? The top balcony. Come on. Just make your way down. Yeah. Yes. Who else? Come on. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Come on. Today's your day. Yes. Today's your day. Yes.
Thanks again for joining us on this week's podcast. If you have any questions or would like to speak with a pastor, please connect with us on our website or through social media. You can also find a Northview location to visit in person by going online to northviewchurch.us and then selecting the locations page. We're so glad you joined us today, and we hope you have a great week.